This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. This segment is brought to you by Rubin & Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark will talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. It all starts with simple, confidential phone call. So pick up the phone right now and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark Rubin and Rubin & Associates at 1-800-LAWYERS. You are listening to the home of the Cowboys and the home of the Rangers, and it is time to get baseball going. Saturday will be the first baseball game you can hear right here on 105.3 The Fan, and it will be called by the great Eric Nadel, who joins us in studio. How you doing, Eric?
Hey,
I'm doing great. I'm excited. I'm ready to get going.
When do you go?
I'll go Friday night. I don't need to be watching any pitchers running over and covering first base at this stage.
Oh, you think you can just step in and do it?
I'll just jump right in there for the game.
How much different is it calling a spring training game than a regular season game?
It's a lot different, especially early when the regular players are playing such a small percentage of the innings and they're wheeling over all these guys from minor league camp. Hopefully early in the spring they don't need the guys from minor league camp, and at least you have a roster showing the guys who are playing. But we don't really obsess anymore about the guys who come over late. We used to scramble like madmen to try and learn who they are, everything about them. And then when they started sending over two guys wearing the same number,
they're not going to make it.
I think, Eric, though, it's been really fun listening to early part of spring training games on here, 105.3 The Fan, because you and Matt Hicks can have some really interesting conversations from about the sixth inning on during a spring training game.
And you know, a couple of years ago, and Matt and I are both perfectionists, and we really work hard to get everything right, although everybody makes mistakes. And a couple of years ago, I was watching a Dodgers game, and Vin Scully, who is the god of baseball announcing, said, and the Dodgers make some changes, and Jock Peterson has gone to left field, and Andre Ethier is in center, and in right field, it's number 97. And I think if Vin Scully can say that,
yeah, you can.
I can too. I don't know who number 97 is, it's not the end of the world. We'll try and figure it out.
Speaking of learning new guys, what about the new manager, Woody? Have you had a chance to talk to him very much? And how do you expect to get to know him better over the spring training?
I'm really looking forward to it. I've done a couple of events with him in spring training. He's one of these guys with an infectious personality, you know, a tremendous energy, great sense of humor. And he's an interesting combination because he's got a lot of energy, but he also seems to be extremely relaxed. And I think he's the kind of guy who will set a different mood in the clubhouse. We probably were at the point where that was needed, you know, even though I think Jeff Banister overall was an excellent manager. And watching Chris Woodward incorporate the new information is going to be interesting too, because, you know, he's a guy who played for 12 years and a guy who clearly will trust his eyes a lot of the time. You know, in seeing a lot of these guys who he's not familiar with, that's probably going to be the most fascinating thing about spring training.
How much has your style as a play-by-play guy evolved over time? Because I think about now the limericks and like the amount of, it seems like, very relaxed fun that you're having. Like, how long does it get to you get to the point where you say, I'm very comfortable with the way I do this job and I'm going to kind of let it loose?
Well, I'm always trying to get better, you know, and I listen in spring training to lots of recordings of other announcers, especially guys from way back who did more description than guys do now. But I'm definitely more leaning on personality and commenting. You know, I always tell people this job is observe, describe, react. And probably I'm leaning more on the reaction now than I ever did before, which includes, you know, writing things like limericks if I think the broadcast needs something a little bit extra.
So with this starting pitching staff, I mean, it could be a little bit of a challenge, I think, for a lot of Ranger fans today to name the five, much less what the expectation is. How hard is it to set any sort of expectation for what we're going to see?
It's really hard when you've got three guys who didn't pitch last year. You know, three very proven major league pitchers, but who missed last year due to Tommy John surgery. The season rides so much on the health of those guys that, you know, they're going to be under a microscope every time they go out there in spring training. And for those who don't know, we're talking about Shelby Miller and Drew Smyly and Edinson Volquez. Same Edinson Volquez who the Rangers traded for Josh Hamilton.
DVD.
You know, 10 years ago or longer. And those three guys should occupy the 3, 4, and 5 spots in the Ranger rotation behind Mike Minor and Lance Lynn, whom the Rangers signed as a free agent.
Hey, Eric, let's go back in time real quick because you are a legend in baseball. You've been covering so many spring trainings. In fact, the very first one I went to was in 1981, Rangers, Pompano Beach, Florida. You were there for all these years. Talk about the different locations the Rangers had and which one you might have preferred if surprise is not your favorite.
Well, 79 was my first year, and I could not believe when I showed up at the ballpark in Pompano Beach, Florida, yes. to basically a high school field and a really bad one.
Yeah, it's bad.
A really bad one. The screen was falling down and
hard dirt.
Bleachers had, you know, huge chips out of the wood. And then, yeah, the condition of the field. Every year somebody got hurt getting a bad hop in the face. One year Mike Richard, who was the Rangers' top prospect, took a bad hop and broke his cheek and wound up missing the season.
My dad said when he was spring training, it was St. Augustine.
Mm-hmm.
That was the grass. Mm-hmm. So the weed grass. That was the grass that they had to play
it's
on
bad.
With the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, and then the practice, there was only one practice field. Yeah. They called it Iwo Jima.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
yeah.
so many bombs had hit it there. I could not believe it. And I was doing baseball for the first time, so I'd never been at a spring training. I had watched games as a kid from St. Petersburg where the Yankees trained and then the Mets at a beautiful stadium, Alang Field. Mm-hmm. And then when the Yankees moved to Fort Lauderdale, a beautiful stadium there that they trained in. And here, this is a major league park. But I loved it there because it was right on the beach.
Yep.
And there
across the street.
So much happening. It was Pompano was, the next town up from Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. And plus I was single then. Mm-hmm. And it was a great time to be single in South Florida. Then we moved to Port Charlotte.
Yep.
And
West Florida.
I remember Mark Holtz telling me after he did a little scouting trip to Port Charlotte, and Mark was married with kids, and he said, "You're going to want to be married by the time we move to Port Charlotte."
You know they used to say? They used to say, nothing but old people and alligators.
You're not gonna have the same sort of spring experience. But I did find a condo on the beach that I was able to rent every year. And I'd drive home after the games, 20, 25 minutes. And I would sit out and watch the sunset into the Gulf, go swimming in the Gulf, and that was fantastic. And then when we moved, and that was a much better facility.
Yeah.
That was state-of-the-art when it was built. By the time we moved in 2002 to Arizona, the Port Charlotte facility was outdated. The county wasn't willing to make the sort of improvements the Rangers wanted. So they go to Arizona. Now we're state-of-the-art again. But now we're in a big city. Mm-hmm. It's Surprise, Arizona, but it's like being in Frisco, as part of a big metroplex, kind of on the outskirts of a big metroplex. The stadium is incredible. The facility is incredible. I like the pace of Florida, especially in Port Charlotte, kind of that slow rural pace. But it didn't take me long to start realizing Phoenix has a lot of things that are fun to do. You just have to be willing to drive in city traffic to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And the stadiums are all great. There's no bad ones anymore. There's not a long trip anymore. Selfishly for us guys, that's probably the biggest difference. The longest trip used to be Tucson, and that was only a little over 2 hours. Whereas in Florida, you're driving all over the state.
That's a short trip.
Trips.
Yeah, short. Mm-hmm. Now, I have one more question before we get to your benefit blowout, which is happening tomorrow in Fort Worth. If you were commissioner of baseball today and you had the kind of blessing of the players, what would be a couple changes that you think would make the game of baseball better going forward?
The first thing I would do is put in the pitch clock. And I was actually, frankly, quite surprised to see today in the paper some reactions of Ranger players to the pitch clock, which seemed to me to be knee-jerk reactions where they don't want the pitch clock. And saying it doesn't make any difference in the minor leagues. You see those games in Frisco. It makes a big difference.
It makes
the whole
difference.
Rhythm of the game is different. It's not so much that you might save 5 or 10 minutes. It's that you have some pace to the game. We're very sensitive to that since we have to fill that time or else just leave it as dead air, which a lot of announcers are doing now, which kind of gives you a feel for what it's like at the ballpark, but to me is pretty boring. The other thing is I would make the umpires make the batters stay in the box.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball has told the umpires not to be policemen on this, that Major League Baseball will handle it. Clearly, the way they handle it doesn't work. Those two things, I think, would return the rhythm and the pace to the game, would probably knock off 15 to 20 minutes.
Sure.
Obviously, as you can tell, that's my main concern.
Yeah.
As someone who watches games and has people tell me all the time the games are too slow and the games are too long and I lose interest and that sort of thing. So to me, that's the biggest priority right now.
I got you. I mean, I have some thoughts too, but I want to get to the Eric Nadel benefit blowout that's happening in Fort Worth at Hyena Comedy Club.
Right. This is a concert, but it's at the Comedy Club because they very graciously donate the space for us each year to do this. Walt Wilkins and Kelly McWheel perform. It's all for Focus on Teens, which is the nonprofit I work with that supports homeless kids who actually attend schools in DISD and Fort Worth ISD. This concert is specifically to help the Fort Worth program. The auction items are already online. You can get the link on my Twitter feed, which is Nadel ER, Nadel Air. We've got a chance to go to lunch with Tom Grieve and me at Heim Barbecue, a chance to go to lunch with Emily Jones and me at Riata. There's a Willie Nelson signed guitar. There are a couple of different Ranger experiences, one where you get to come up to the booth, one where you sit in the owner's box and have dinner in the Capital One Club. You know, all that stuff is online, so check my Twitter feed for that. There are also tickets still on sale at prekindle.com. They're just $15, but you can bid without being there, and it'll all end at about 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Yeah, I saw Patrick Mahomes autographed something. You had Luka Doncic. I mean, you had the premium.
And a really neat framed photo of Adrian Beltre down on one knee, which he signed.
Nice.
Now, I will get real quick right back into baseball. I love what John Smoltz said. I don't know if it was during last season or during this offseason. What he would do is kind of minor league it up if he could change something, and that is have a first-half division winner and a second-half division winner. So it would kind of stop the kind of tanking, the not trying to win that is starting to really happen in Major League Baseball, where you have a 70-game first half and a 70-game second half, so you're limiting the games. And it might have been a few more games than that, but I would love your thoughts on that, where you have a division winner in one half, and if you win the division in the second half, you kind of get a bye. And if you have two different division winners, they play a 3-5-game series to then in the playoffs to keep going on. I just thought that would really make the game of baseball maybe a little bit more exciting, that you get to reset at a halfway point.
Mm-hmm. I'd have to give that some thought. That's pretty drastic.
It is drastic.
That really messes with the integrity of the long season and all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but I'd want to give it some more thought. It's interesting that John Smoltz would be in favor of something
like
that.
Yeah, it's something like
not exactly a revolutionary.
I think for us, for Sports Talk Radio, if you get to like last season with the Texas Rangers and you get to August, September, it's 100% Dallas Cowboys, you know, NFL, maybe a little bit of college football, because like, well, they're 20-something games out. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to talk about it. If you had like that, okay, we're resetting again in July, it kind of gives you a little bit like, hey, we're resetting. We have a chance again.
That's funny. You know, baseball actually did that once. You mentioned 1981. It was that season because there was a strike in the middle of the season. Yep. We actually came back and played a second half of the season under similar conditions. And I remember the Rangers were a couple of games under 500, but were in the race right to the end because the season was so short, nobody really distanced themselves from the field.
And that was what Smoltzy was talking about, too, is that it would be tough to get such a lead that your team would be out of it,
right,
where you'd stop talking about the game.
What player or two are you most interested in tracking the progress during the season?
Well, I've read so much about Willie Calhoun now, the new slim Willie Calhoun. I want to see this with my own eyes. I love the fact that we have the quirky old guy story again. Last year we had Bartolo, and this year we've got Hunter Pence,
right,
you know, trying to basically continue his career after a pretty much a lost season last year. And a guy who everybody loves and
UTA
just happens to be a hometown hero. But even if he wasn't, you just fall in love with this guy. As soon as you see him, you talk to him, you know, he's a legend in the Bay Area. I am looking forward to seeing these three starting pitchers who are coming back. And of the guys who come from minor league camp, I'm most interested in seeing the two center fielders, the Cuban center fielder, J.P. Martinez, and Leody Taveras, both of whom are considered the future of the organization. I'd like to see, you know, just how far along they are and just, you know, what their skills are. I haven't really had a chance to see them.
Well, we look forward to hearing your call of the game on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, Saturday at 2, and then Sunday is at 3. Apparently, there's a college game in the stadium on Sunday morning, so the game will be an hour later. So Texas time, it's 2 o'clock on Saturday against Kansas City and 3 o'clock Sunday against Milwaukee.
And then, we will share your link for your event for the Benefit Blowout for Homeless Kids on Twitter. You can check at NadelER and see the live auction and help out and make a difference. Love that you do that. Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's going to be a fun year.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.